Good afternoon. We would like to welcome you to the March 12th meeting of the Savannah Historic Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility and changes of new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a COA. Personal preferences will also not be the basis for any decision. Sign posting. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have no or have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. There are five items listed on the consent agenda. They are file number 25000863, COA for 17 East Perry Street, file number 25-000866, COA for 147 Price Street, file number 25000864, COA for 226 East Huntington Street, file number 25-000865 for 315 East Jones Street, and file number 2500859 for 574 Indian Street. Is there any member of the public or a board member that wishes to remove an item from consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Woodfield, please.
Ms. So Woodfield.
We would like to, I would like to move the 226 East Huntington Street to the regular agenda from the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. I will entertain a motion to remove file number 25864 for 226 East Huntington and keep the remaining items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Do I have a second? Thank you, Ms. Rowan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that motion is approved and the consent agenda is approved with the removal of item number 3, and we'll move that to the top of the regular agenda. Moving on to adoption of the agenda, we've got a few moving parts here today, so bear with us. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
Higgins, I move that we approve current agenda with the exception of removing item number 11 from the agenda.
Are you going to put it up, place it on the continued or
to continue a specific?
Let's address it when we get to that matter versus making a motion in the beginning. It's up to you, but we can always just address it when we get to item 11.
Does he need to be specific to continue it to
a date certain?
A date certain.
In 2 months.
The next date.
It's the 9th.
May 14th is another one.
To continue to May 14th.
All right, there. The motion on the floor is to approve the agenda with the removal, the continuance of item number 11 to the May 14th meeting.
Thompson, second.
Can we just clarify that it's item number 10, not 11? It's 11 West Gordon.
It's item 11.
Number 11.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I will be abstaining from this vote.
Okay, thank you. So there's a motion on the floor to remove item 11 from the regular agenda and continue it to the May 17th meeting. Is there a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The agenda is approved with the one change. Minutes from the previous meeting have been attached to the agenda. We also had the minutes from the December 11th meeting that were held up. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review both sets. Is there a motion to approve the February 12th and the December 11th minutes?
Thompson, I make a motion to approve both minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Coleman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion to approve both sets of minutes has been approved and passed. We covered items requested to be removed from the final agenda. On the continued agenda this month, we do have two items. We have file number 24-004958 for 20 through 24 East Oglethorpe Avenue and file number 25-000228 for 504 East Bay Street. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
So moved, Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Is there a second?
Woodfield, second.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion to approve the continued agenda has been approved and is passed. We don't have any requests for extension, so we will move on to the regular agenda. The public will have the opportunity to Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by this board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chair. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually, you can locate your control panel and use the raise the hand feature, and you will be identified and asked for your comment. We did start this new process last time, so if you are joining us in person today and you wish to speak on a agenda item, you should fill out a speaker card, and Bree can help you with that if you have any questions. The first item on the regular agenda is the petition of Victory Gardens, Carrie Shea, file number 25-000864 COA for 226 East Huntington Street.
Afternoon, this is Kelly. So again, the applicant is requesting approval to replace the existing courtyard garden wall to add a fence on top of the existing knee wall and to construct a new front fence and knee wall at 226 East Huntington Street. Staff was able to find one historic photo of the building, the primary photo. High building C is 228 with 226 being next door. With this photo, staff did believe that the new fence did meet the standards. And just also for quick reference, we did look at sandborns for the rear portion of the home right here. Based on the sandborns, there was a outbuilding as late as 1916 that was gone by 1950. So staff believes that this wall right here is not historic. We're okay with it being altered. Staff also conducted a site visit property earlier today. We did see these little holes on top of the knee wall suggesting that there was a fence in front of the property previously. Some of the caps were also do appear to be newer because they are in cleaner design. So some of this has been altered with time. With that, staff found that the proposed materials to be appropriate materials include masonry, aluminum, wood, and iron. The overall design also meets the standards. The applicant did provide some information how the front little fence will be attached. It sounds like it will be attached via some form of screw mechanism. Screws themselves are relatively small in size, so they'll have very minimal impact on the cap itself. The applicant should be here, so she should be able to explain better how that will be attached. So with that, staff recommends approval of the replacement of the existing courtyard garden wall, the addition of a fence on top of the existing new wall, and the construction of a new front gate new wall, 226 East Huntington Street, as requested. Does the board have any questions for staff?
Questions for staff?
Woodfield, please. I'm not clear about where this brick wall in the front garden is. It appears to be perpendicular to the building and going to the street. Could you show us where it is, please?
Yeah, so that is this new wall is right here. I have hard to tell on these plans. Let me see if I can zoom in a little bit. This is a new perpendicular new wall, whereas what you see right here is what's existing.
Can we look at the elevation, please?
Yes, ma'am. That new wall is going to go right here, right behind where the truck is.
It's to the right of the staircase that we're looking at?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you zoom out a little bit on the whole? Because this is like a duplex, right? There's two.
Yes, ma'am.
Two units within one very elaborate structure. Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions?
Were there additional questions for staff?
I believe the applicant should be here to discuss further.
Is the petitioner here? Oh, would you please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, I'm Kerry Shea with Victory Gardens.
Thank you, Mr. Shea. Are there questions? Did you have something you wanted to present, or do you just would you prefer to just answer questions?
I'm just here to answer questions.
I know, sorry, we've moved you off the consent. Are there questions for the petitioner?
Woodfield, could you please just tell us how tall you're proposing this wall to be?
So the new wall that will be constructed perpendicular to the existing wall will be the same height, which is approximately 20 inches.
I'm confused. Is there an existing wall in this location?
Yes, it's the existing wall is on the front edge of the garden along the sidewalk.
I believe the wall that we're talking about and I'm concerned about is the one that's perpendicular to the building, to the right of the stairs as you're describing this.
Yeah, it'll be the same height to match the existing wall that's all along the sidewalk, approximately 20 inches.
So it's 20 inches.
Yes.
And on top of that wall, is it the same metal rail?
Correct. The intention is for the front garden to be completely fenced for this customer. So it would be 3 foot of fencing on top of the new wall.
Okay. The drawings call it out as a brick wall without a height. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Were there additional questions for the petitioner?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Shea.
Yep, thank you.
Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak? Just be sure to state your name for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. We requested this item to be pulled from consent due to the literal visual division the proposed alterations cause. The requested changes are located on the front half, as you mentioned, of the front facade of the property and not the entire front of the property. Although they are two separate residences, the building reads as one large residence. We also have concerns regarding the original fabric of the masonry wall and the stone cap that will be possibly damaged due to the insulation of the iron fence within the stone cap, and the replacement and if like the existing holes are not utilized because it's not very specific in the application. We would also like to request that if the removed ironwork at the rear of the property, if it's not going to be retained within the new design, that it be salvaged at minimum. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Would the applicant like to respond to public comment?
So the method for attaching the new fencing, because I guess that's one of the questions to address, is there are flanges on the posts for the new iron fencing, and they would have four screws that would be epoxied into the existing cap on the new wall. I can't speak to the visual effect of adding the new perpendicular wall, only to say that the adjacent property is a rental unit, and my customer basically has access to their property through that shared front courtyard space that they would like to make private for their purposes. That's it.
Thank you. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Ms. Woodfield, I'll start with you.
This is a monumental building, you know, with a lot of eccentrics. It's not symmetrical. It's a whole. And I do have a concern that by, you know, from the street view, having part of it sectioned off with this metal railing and part of it sectioned off with the, you know, the green shrubbery, that you're harming the historic nature of the building and separating what was one big structure into two parts, and that, you know, each part kind of loses something because of that.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Houle?
I don't have any comments at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Ms. Nagel?
I agree with Ms. Woodfield in that if, as a very prominent historic property that this is, adding that perpendicular wall is definitely going to visually cause a separation to the property that I don't know that it is, would be appropriate for the visual component of the property as a whole. That would be my concern with that.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Coleman?
Yes, I understand the comments of my colleagues here. I would say that it appears that the additions are possible to be removed and not impact the original structure. Maybe it might damage the fence if you had to the brick wall while you had to remove it in the future, but it is possible that it could be removed back to its original condition if someone want to make this one whole unit again. So I think that the opportunity to maintain that integrity of the entire structure is there for the future.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with Mr. Coleman's comments, and I just want to say a few years ago, my husband and I went through this property to purchase it, and those two structures are separate. Like, that is a single family home. They were never one structure. It's an apartment building that on the right side may have been a single family home, but they were never one home.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Thompson?
Well, I'm fine with the staff recommendation on this. I guess I think that's what Mr. Coleman and others have said. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins?
I guess while I understand my colleague's interest in the visual interruption, I have to agree with Mr. Coleman that this is one instance where it's easily reversible and will have virtually no impact on the structure itself.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. I'll go back around one more time, Ms. Woodfield.
My comments stand. No further comments.
Mr. Houle?
I would agree with Mr. Coleman about the ability to, for a future owner, to remove whatever he wants to and bring the structure back to the way it was.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Ms. Nagel?
No further comment.
Mr. Coleman?
No additional comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No additional comment.
Mr. Thompson?
I kind of like the idea of the fence around the building. I think it raises the value, is not the right word, raises the projection of the building to the public by making it seem more important.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins?
No additional comment.
Thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion.
Higgins, I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to 226 East Huntington Street, 25-000864 COA, approve the replacement of the existing courtyard garden wall, addition of a fence on top of an existing knee wall, and construction of the new front fence and knee wall at 226 East Huntington Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Motion on the floor is to approve. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Woodfield, how do you vote?
Nay.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That motion is approved. Next up on the regular agenda is item number 12, the petition of Eli Lori, file number 25-000829 COA for 118 East Jones Street.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. The site in question is a row house on Jones Street on the northern side between Abercorn and Drayton, constructed in 1852 as a row of five. This was lost before you all back in January of 2023, so a little over 2 years ago, where a COA was approved for alterations to the row house. This is the row house in question right here. There's an existing covered front entry stoop that has seen alterations over the years. The house is presently undergoing a renovation and restoration. These are some additional photos that we took just a week or two ago, showing the existing open lower portion of the stoop. It has the iron railing and posts, columns, that are obviously not original. So I'm going to go through this. Let me zoom it out a little bit. Okay. So on the left-hand side, is what was approved before, and what's being proposed is here on the right. And I know the project architect is here who will walk you through this. But let me just scroll down a little bit here. Sorry. So there are a number of changes that are being proposed. All right, let's see if this will work. Okay, so basically, what was approved by you all was to basically have, and let me see if I can pull up a street view here, so you can see what I'm getting at in the staff report. So when staff was looking at this, if this were a standalone house, we might have had a different conclusion. But again, it's a row. And like a lot of rows in Savannah, the entrances have seen a number of changes. However, in doing the research on what you all approved, and this is the house in question, part of the rationale for your approval back in 2023 was to have the front entrance stoop more closely reflect what it might have been historically and more closely reflect some of the other houses in this row that have been restored. And some of you may have been on the board. I don't know. It was before my time. But that's basically what you approved the last time. So the applicant is proposing a series of changes here, different columns than what you approved, putting in a different railing as opposed to the wood railing, which would have matched some of the other ones in the row that have been restored. In addition, the applicant is proposing to enclose the lower portion. There are examples on Jones Street and on other streets where people have done that. We understand people have security concerns and various things. However, in this row, they are open. Some people do maybe have some lattice screens, but they are not enclosed. As such, when staff was looking at the Secretary of Interior standards, and we always are open to admitting if we're wrong, and the applicant is here and may have some information, the design that's being proposed is visually compatible in the sense for this building. Are those columns appropriate? Yes. The railing, not so much in our view. Kind of mixing and matching different materials is generally not supported. But the real question is what's being proposed based on any historic evidence? We were not able, the applicant may have found it, but we were not able to find any evidence to support the design that's being proposed here as a change, whereas the previous one that you all approved was based on historic research and also based on the other houses in this row that have already been restored. So as such, we don't love to do this, but we are recommending denial of the request for an amendment to 22-005840 for alterations to the raised front entrance. Shutters are fine, actually, to the property located at 118 East Jones Street because the work does not meet the standards. So I hope that makes some sense. But basically, this is a row, and while rows change over time, historically they would have all looked the same. There have been, I think, two in a row that have already been restored. And my understanding from checking the notes from when you all reviewed this last time, when you approved this previous iteration, the idea was to have them getting all back to that original design. And again, we do have concerns about the enclosing of the lower portion. Again, in this row, the lower portions are open, and that is a feature of these entrance porches.
Thank you, Jonathan. Are there questions for staff on this one? Mr. Houle, I'll start with you.
Just one question, Mr. Houle. When we're making the motion, should we change it to approve the shutters and deny the rest?
Yes, I apologize. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not telling you what to do.
You were comfortable with the shutters.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
As long as the shutters, you should note, I apologize, that the shutters need to be wood, made out of wood.
Okay.
Not a composite material.
That was a question I had.
Yeah. I've already talked to them. Okay.
Okay.
Nagel. That was kind of my question.
To speak from the podium and not from the audience.
Yes. Sorry.
Yes, that was going to be my question. I don't see the submittal for the shutters, and yet there's the.
I'll check on that. Yes, we have received also some staff reviews related to some other changes to this house. I'll let Mr. Willory talk about it in a moment.
So just to recap, we're talking about the
front
street. They resubmitted this. It was previously approved. I was not on the board at the time, so I'm just
sorry.
For the columns will be different. The railing will be different, and then the enclosure on the bottom.
Correct.
Was the enclosure on the bottom in the prior
no
COA?
No. Okay. So this is the property in question. And so what you all approved before was to basically try to recreate what's adjacent to the west. So that you would have some consistency here in terms of the detailing of the entrance porch, and the railing coming down. It was a different architect, who was before this, board back in 2023.
Yeah.
So, we understand that people want to have their homes their individual character, but when you're talking about a row, unless the applicant has it, we've not been able to uncover any historic evidence that what's being proposed for this amendment is based on the original design.
Okay, so just for the sake of clarity, The shutters are not within the proposal. The difference in the columns, the railings, and the enclosure in the bottom, which was not presented in the prior COA that was approved.
Correct. So okay. You can, I'm not going to tell you how to phrase things, but you can say if you approve or deny the alterations to the front entrance stoop, that kind of is a catch-all.
Are there additional questions for staff? Mr. Thompson?
So the prior approval, is that still active? So if this is denied, the property owner could implement the prior approval?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And I believe they already have their permits. I'll let the applicant explain that.
Anything additional for staff? Thank you, Jonathan. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Eli Lurie. Sorry for the confusion with this. This project was a different architect to begin with back in 2022, and there were several iterations of this project. They changed certain details. At one point, they were recreating the tracery on top of the beam of the front porch. It had turned Victorian columns. So there was a kind of a convoluted history here of changes and stuff like that that have happened. So I think that's how the shutters got included in this somehow. But the shutters have already approved as a previous submission, so those are not part of this. So right now, all we're looking for is the change from round columns to square columns, change from recreating that Victorian balustrade to a wrought iron metal balustrade, and enclosing the lower section of that concrete porch with a cast iron gate on the front, and then a stucco wall on the side with a opening with a cast iron piece to match. So zoom in here. This is good enough right now. This house, this whole row is 1852. There's five attached to each other. Two of them have Victorian stoops on the front. So the majority of them, the three of them, do not. So we're planning or trying to go back with a Greek Revival style front stoop for this house. This house is not Victorian. All the interior detailing on all of these is Greek Revival, pedimented openings, trims, details, newel posts. Everything is very Greek Revival in the interior of these. And so we felt that the going back with Victorian styling was somewhat arbitrary for these, for this property, since it has really no remaining aspects of that, since it had been converted to iron columns and railing on the front. And looking directly across the street is a very similar dated row of houses where you see some with Victorian, some with metal, some with square, more with square. And there's an assortment of wood railings and metal railings with square. Here, this one has wood and metal. And a lot of these ones across the street have been enclosed on the sides and have gates on the front as well. So there's several directly across the street from this that are implementing what we're trying to get approved today. And so we felt that going back with the Victorian styling on a Greek Revival house was a bit arbitrary for this design, and we wanted to go back with the original as-built intent of this home because we're doing a very Greek Revival restoration of this home inside. Do any of y'all have any questions for me?
Nagel, for the enclosure in the bottom, are you doing the railings on the side or is it going to be a solid wall?
So on the side, it is a stucco wall with this it's a little hard to see that.
I see it. It's like a...
It has an opening in it that's 2 feet by 3 feet.
Thank you.
So that's not a solid dark space.
Mr. Houle.
Yeah, Stan Houle. My question for when I first looked at this, it looked kind of jaily. Does the owner have any reasoning for wanting to enclose that with the big wrought iron
So similar to certain ones across the street that are enclosed, like that one right there, this is a really good spot for like when packages get delivered and stuff like that. So you just have a code on that gate and then they can drop it off without having to enter your home and stuff like that, as well as security of a the door that we have approved for right there has glass in it. And so we don't want to – it's kind of enclosed as it is. So it's somewhat of a safety concern as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Additional questions for the petitioner? Thank you, Mr. Lurie.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak? I don't believe I have any cards on this. Hearing none, at this time we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Mr. Higgins, I'll start with you.
While I understand staff's reasoning to take the more Victorian aspects of the neighboring homes, I tend to lean toward the petitioner's thoughts on this. The simplicity of it, I'm not wild about the enclosure underneath the porch, but I do see a reason for it. It could be removed. I actually don't have that many problems with this design.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson.
Should have asked the applicant this question, but is this an architect decision or was it an owner decision for the change? Okay, that was my comment, but whatever that is.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
I've thought of in line with Ms. Higgins. I don't have a problem with the change. I think that when you have a townhouse sort of situation, a little bit of variation in the stoops is agreeable and there is variation in the street, but I am not really fond of the enclosure of the side of the porch. If that was just as transparent as the front with the metal enclosure, probably would give me far less heartburn than enclosing the whole area off. Otherwise, I really don't have any problem with it.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Nagel?
I think that because I think the reason that this even comes up is because of the prior submission, but if we omit that, because really it's not that relevant to our decision today, as if it was a new application, I think it currently has the iron. It doesn't veer far away from what's currently there. So it would be unfair to say, well, you have to go back to what you presented before. It's a different architect. It's a different proposal. I don't think going back to what's currently there better, material wise is, I think is acceptable. Not, you know, if it doesn't look like the neighbors, I don't think that it doesn't qualify. I do have a problem with the enclosure in the bottom in general, but, it was well presented. Plenty of properties on that block have it. It can be removed, as Mr. Higgins said. And I don't, you know, that is something that's important to the owner that I don't think we have to, you know, deny on the basis of it, you know, not being liked. So I would say that, you know, if we could have a better idea of what that, I should have asked the petitioner of what exactly that, all that black railing really looks like. What does the door look like? What does the opening look like? But in general, in closing it, I mean, there's plenty of properties around there that did. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Hull.
I have to be a little bit averse to the proposal. When it was originally approved, if you look at the building to the left and to the right, they're both open. I'm not sure that whether or not they're large metal, but I seem to remember that the proposal that we approved was looking at the neighboring properties and making all three of them at least kind of sort of compatible with each other. I really don't have a problem with the columns, but the guardrail, and I guess I'll again go back to, and the loop that might turn this, the bottom into a semi-jail, while admitted that there, that the one right across the street does have some familiarities. I'm still leaning toward the original proposal because it's compatibility with the adjacent properties.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Ms. Woodfield?
I agree with Mr. Hull in that this was carefully vetted when it was first, I believe it was carefully vetted when it was first approved, and it was deemed compatible with its neighbors. We're not seeing, you know, we saw a few photographs. We're not seeing an elevation of the whole row here. So I think the wood columns and the wood rail are more appropriate. But I would suggest maybe you could make it a streamlined Victorian rather than a frilly Victorian, and maybe that would help. Greek Revival feels out of place to me here, and we are talking about being compatible with the contributing buildings around us, so not to introduce something totally new. And I think, again, because the neighbors have, you know, no lower enclosures, that it's historically and compatible to keep the bottom layer open.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. I'll go around one more time, Mr. Higgins.
I have to agree with something that Ms. Nagel said, that if we look at if we forget that there was a previous COA and look at this one on its own merits, it's reflective of other contributing buildings in the near area. To replicate the Victorian aspects of it from the previous one, I, who happen to love Victorian aspects and have recreated a lot of them on my own home, I think this, as taken as a standalone proposal, is a good design. I will reiterate, I am not totally in favor of the jail-like structure underneath, but again, there are other structures in the surrounding context that have those, so I would be in favor of this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson?
I don't have any comments on this.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
I agree that the visual compatibility extends beyond the two immediately adjacent structures. It's the visually compatible buildings that you can see from the site, and that's basically the other side of the street as well. And when you look at those, this building is visually compatible in my view. I'm still not a big fan of the enclosure on the side of the porch, but I find it more or less visually compatible for the block.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Nagel?
No further comment.
Mr. Hull?
No further comment.
Ms. Woodfield?
No further comments.
All right, at this time, I will entertain a motion.
Higgins. With regard to 18, I move the Historic District Board of Review with regard to 118 East Jones Street, 25-000829 COA, approve the request for an amendment to 22-005840 for alterations to the raised front entrance, as the work meets the standards and is visually compatible.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. The motion on the floor is to approve the amendment to the existing COA. Do I have a second?
Nagel, second.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And for the record, Rowan is recusing herself from this vote. Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Nay.
Ms. Woodfield?
Nay.
The ayes have that. The motion for the amendment to the existing COA is approved. Next, the next item up on the regular agenda is item number 13, the petition of J. Elder Studios for file number 25-000868 COA for 610 Abercorn Street.
Good afternoon, again. This is Kelly. So again, this is for 610 Abercorn Street. The applicant is requesting to carry out selective rehabilitation alteration work at this property. Work includes replacing the storefront and rear doors, applying German schmear, and repairing the existing windows. Based on research carried out by staff does not believe that the existing storefront is historic. Sometime between 1950 and 1953, the one-story porch was enclosed. At this time, we don't know what it looked like historically. Once it was enclosed, the staff does not believe that this was what it was. So staff finds that not to be historic. So staff finds replacing the storefront elements to be appropriate in this case. With regards to German schmear, this board approved it end of 2023, early of 2024. On the neighboring property, this is the property next door with that German schmear applied, just for context on what that would look like. Staff again finds that utilizing this material is appropriate since that stone material on the front of this building is likely non-historic. The applicant also intends to replace the rear two doors with storefront type doors. In this case, staff does not find that to be appropriate. While the front is a storefront, the rear still reads as very residential. So staff recommends using more residential type door in this case. It was also difficult to tell if the applicant was intending on enlarging those doors. If he does, staff finds that it should be kept at a more residential scale. And finally, the applicant intends to repair the existing windows. Again, staff finds this appropriate. We just asked if that wholesale windows or sashes need to be replaced and we'd be made aware prior to the work taking place. So with that, staff recommends approval of this project with the two conditions seen on the screen. The board have any questions?
Thank you, Kelly. Are there questions for staff?
Who?
Mr. Hull.
One question. The second condition, isn't there more to that, that if the windows do need to be repaired, then they have to be in certain kind of windows that you guys would then have this sign off to say that they're good?
Yeah, so if, let's say they need to pull out all the windows for whatever reason, we have to tell them that they need to go back as wood. So the applicant would need to provide a spec, be like, hey, these are wood windows or the custom windows or something along those lines.
Okay.
Additional questions for staff?
Woodfield, I'm sorry, I don't know what the German schmear is. Is it like a stucco overlay?
I think the applicant can better describe what it is. It's not quite stucco. It's more thin than actual stucco, but it's not as thin as a whitewash. So it's somewhere between a whitewash and a stucco. Any other questions?
Any other questions for Kelly?
I believe the applicant is here as well.
Thank you. Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record?
Jerome Elder with J. Elder Studio. And good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank staff again because I know we've looked at this a few times and we're excited to see this building get rehabilitated. We do agree with staff comments and we will make sure that those rear doors we're planning for them to become solid wood and we'll confirm that with you. And then as to the German schmear, the example is actually here. It came to this board previously, and the building that is just north of it, adjacent to this building, so right to the left of this photo, is here. And the brick was previously just like this orange stone on the exterior, and it's simply an applied wash. And that wash makes it look more of a whitish tone. So think of whitewashing brick. And it's the exact same treatment that we'll be doing.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
Yeah. So are you saying that the brick that is around the storefront, you're going to whitewash that area and it will look more like this brick?
Correct.
Building to the left, which is just lighter in color and less brick?
It's more stone, subtle. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's going over the brick, not over anything else.
Yes. Just there. And as for the windows, just to clarify, I think we stated that we'll be rehabilitating all of the existing wood windows. And if there any do need to be replaced, they have to be replaced in kind. So just to confirm, that is part of what we'll have to do and confirm with staff. Any other questions?
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Alder. Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak? Sure.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation at HSF. Just as a point of clarity, German schmear is mortar. So it's like a watered down mortar. So it's not a paint. So you don't have to worry about like moisture getting stuck in the stone or anything like that. It's a mortar. So it's a compatible method. So just to provide that.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Okay. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment. Public comment will be heard. Ms. Woodfield, I'll start with you.
The building is in need of help. I think this is a very appropriate solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Hull?
I agree with the staff's recommendation to this project.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Ms. Nagel?
I agree with the staff recommendation on it. I don't see the structure of the building being altered so heavily that it loses any historic component. If anything, it really is in need of rehab. I think the treatment to the brick would not be damaging to the original brick. It's just a treatment above it. So I would not be, I would approve this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Coleman?
I agree with the staff recommendation. I would ask that the staff make sure that in the treatment of the rear doors that they're satisfied with what comes in front of them for the final approval.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Rowan?
No comments.
Mr. Thompson?
I agree with the staff recommendation.
Mr. Higgins?
I also agree with the staff recommendations, and I'm just glad to see this building finally move. It's been languishing for years.
Hear, hear. Since there weren't any major objections raised, I won't go around again, but I will now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, Mr. Hull? I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 25000868 at 610 Abercorn Street with the conditions as listed in the staff recommendation. Because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. The motion on the floor is to approve with the noted staff conditions. Do I have a second?
Nagel, second.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Ms. Woodfield, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That petition is approved. The next item up on the regular agenda is item number 14. The petition of Eli Lori, file number 25-000862, for 108 West Taylor Street.
This is Kelly. So the applicant is requesting approval to make alterations to the primary structure at 108 West Taylor Street, as well as approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for an accessory building on the same property. So like majority of properties in the city, this building has altered over time. The front of the building, this is the building right here. The front of the building previously had a 2-story front porch on it. Based on research that was previously done by Ethos Preservation, this was added sometime between 1955 and 1968, and it was then removed sometime after 1975. The other 2 townhomes in this set had this front porch by 1916 based on Sanborn's. With regards to the rear of the structure, which you see right here, by 1916, it had a very small rear addition. By 1950, it had been expanded. Also, 2-story porch had been installed. That 2-story porch has since been enclosed, while the other addition has also been expanded.
The applicant proposes to reintroduce this two-story front porch onto the front of the home. Given that there's historical evidence that this previously existed, and given that it'll be recreated as it previously was based on photos, staff finds it to meet the standards. Also, the proposed materials and design meet the standards. On the rear of the home, the applicant proposes part of this, as well as adding this two-story deck, but porch. Staff finds this also to meet the standards. There are some details that need to be confirmed, such as the material of the lanterns, front porch columns, stair treads, and doors and window screening. With regard to the accessory building, overall staff finds that it meets many of the standards and ordinances. The primary concern in this case is how it relates to the standard that reads that accessory buildings shall be designed in a similar architectural style as a principal building. Beyond the symmetry, staff did not find it to be architecturally similar to the primary building. When talking with the applicant, he mentioned that it does use brick as a seat in the foundation of the main home. But staff was worried about this since the masonry is not the primary building material. The home is primarily wood clad. The applicant also mentioned that similar to other accessory buildings on the lane, but per the ordinance, it needs to be similar with the principal dwelling, not necessarily with the other buildings on the lane. So staff recommends that it be redesigned to be similar to the primary building. With that, staff recommends a continuance to this project to allow the applicant time to redesign the accessory building, as well as to address some of the other outstanding questions that staff had about materials. With that, does the board have any questions?
Mr. Coleman.
Yes. Is that two-story porch on the property, or is it in the right-of-way?
Based on how I read the site plan, it should be within the property, but the applicant can clarify.
Okay.
Additional questions for staff? Mr. Houle?
Yes, one minor point. Going forward, if you guys are suggesting a continuance, could you put a date so that we'll know? Because right now I'm trying to think, okay, April meeting is whenever it is, and if it was in there, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Any additional questions for staff?
Nigel, this is probably a question for the petitioner, but for the front stairs that lead up to the main front door, that is the existing set of stairs. It goes behind that porch. Is that the staircase that it is now, or will it be a new staircase?
You would definitely need to ask the applicant that.
Okay.
I read it as a new one.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything additional for staff? Thank you, Kelly. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello again. It's Eli Lurie. Thank you all for hearing this project. The client here came forward and they just didn't like the front curb appeal of this house. And they were just like, maybe we build a porch on it. Maybe we do. Cause it's an unusual condition. Cause as you can see, I don't know if y'all can see my mouse, but on the left side of this property, on the west side, it's set back several feet from the neighboring property. And so the front porches on the neighboring house are part of their property line as well. So we have plenty of room in the front here where this entire structure is in the property line. We're not encroaching on the sidewalk at all. So once I came over this photo, I showed it to the client and they absolutely loved it. And so we really have been pushing to figure out the easiest way to get this to be done. It's a really unusual condition for downtown. And so we will be taking down all of this existing front porch that is on there right now. None of that is historic material that goes back any period of time. Right now it's a woods. Pressure treated wood structure. So all of that will come down and it'll get rebuilt. The staircase will be in a very similar position to where it is right now. We will just be rebuilding it since it won't have structure that'll be tied into it. Going forward, where's that? There was a photo. Oh, this one. The neighboring structures are currently undergoing rehabilitation. I went too far. And they both rebuilt their front porticos to match the rest of the street instead of doing what was in this historic image. And you can see that those two have been approved separately and don't match, don't relate to each other, don't look the same at all. One has round columns, one has square with panels in them, stuff like that. So already this uniform block has been kind of disassociated. With this one on that we're working on, the entire first floor of all of these, all the way around, is brick, historic Savannah gray brick. And so that's kind of where we got the idea on the carriage house to continue that brick, because the brick goes all the way across here, all the way across. And so 50% of this aligns with that brick that's on the main house. And so instead of doing a disjointed carriage house where the bottom floor is brick masonry and the top floor is wood siding, we decided to just do an over, just make the entire thing brick so that it doesn't architecturally stand out. And many of the, let's see here. Many of the carriage houses in this lane are masonry. So this is one that's four down that we kind of took some cues from so that architecturally it kind of relates to that. There's one across the way that has masonry on the sides up to the first floor, but those look like they could have been historic walls that they just built against. And right next door, we do have a lot of brick structures. So we just felt that that brick materiality tied in better than doing a wood or half wood structure back here. Other than that, there were just some small changes to the rear of the facade, which is a later addition. And so on this current infill porch right here that you can't see very well, we're just screening that. And then up above it, we're putting a roof structure between these two roof structures and making those windows into doors to make that a second floor balcony off the back. Are there any questions that any of y'all have for me currently?
Nagel. I think you just answered it by showing that Google Street View, but the brick wall side elevation, it's up against the commercial property. You don't really see it very much from right of way unless you're literally turning into it, but it is not readily visible from the right of way straight up onto the lane. It's, you can't really see it. So in terms of it being half this, half that, or full brick, how much of that is visible from the right of way?
Mm-hmm. I mean, from back here, I mean, the lane is right away, but from right here, you would basically just see a small little corner of that.
So it's the end of it. It protrudes past that building, or is it?
No, it aligns with that building.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So it basically ends at where this light post is, or electrical post is. Sorry.
Are there additional questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Lurie.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's ARC is excited to see the restoration of this unique porch configuration, and we are in support of its approval. We had wished that the two adjacent property owners would have been inspired to do the full porch as well, because we think that it would have been cool if they all would have matched. We agree with staff recommendations in their entirety. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. I don't have any other speaker cards for this property, but if there is someone that wishes to speak. Hearing none, We will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Mr. Higgins, I will start with you.
No comment other than I agree with staff recommendation to continue to get these questions answered.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I have the same opinion as Mr. Higgins with that.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Ms. Nagel?
I commend the effort to bring back what was there originally. I think it's very cool that you were able to find that image of it, what it used to be like, and introduce something that is not very commonly seen downtown, but it obviously was there and was what it looked like originally. So I would be in support of this.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Houle?
I'm in support of this proposal. Unfortunately, I agree with Ms. Isaacs that it would have been nice if you'd had the other two owners say, hey, that's a great idea. Maybe we'll see them in the future. Otherwise, I'm supportive of the staff's recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Ms. Woodfield?
I was reading the staff report very carefully, and these front porches were added in the mid-1900s. They weren't original to the row of buildings that were built in the mid-1850s. So, you know, are they historical or are they not? It was removed, I guess, in 1975, so maybe they were there 25, 30 years. I think we could confirm that somewhere. So whether they're historical or whether they were an interim device put on a historic property, that's could be determined. I think it's a big precedent to come back and say we can do this three-story porch on what is a very consistent block of, I think, 9 residential buildings that each have the stair and the one-story porch entryway. And across this Chatham Park on Gordon, that's a really well-known row house situation as well, where it's the same thing. Every single building has the same kind of entry stair, entry higher level porch with covering, and, you know, they're all identical. So I personally don't find this compatible with the existing contributing buildings on the street. I also wonder if it's really a historical thing or if it was just a temporary style that was removed at one point. I agree about the back, the concerns with the staff on the back addition. My big concern is the precedent and the you know, this one unique three-story porch on what it is, a very consistent row of buildings, and then putting this on one of them.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. I'll go around one more time, Mr. Higgins.
I support the front porch only because we have historic evidence of what was there. It's the same precedent that we used at the house at the corner of Abercorn and Oglethorpe, I believe, where we had a historic photograph of the front porch that they want to restore it to. The restoration of that porch does not go back to the origin of the house, but rather was a Victorian addition. But again, we had photographic evidence. So I'm in support of this because of that.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson?
Yeah, I'm supportive of the porch. It would be more dramatic if the other owners would join in the effort here, but it's probably a very costly addition. But I think there are questions that staff needs to work out, and so I support the continuance.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Ms. Nagel?
No comment.
Mr. Houle?
No further comment.
Ms. Woodfield?
No further comments.
Thank you. At this time, I will open the floor for a motion.
Nagel.
Ms. Nagel, the floor is yours.
I move that the Historic District Board of Review continue item number 25-000862 at 108 West Taylor Street with, according to staff recommendation, including items 1 through 8 on the staff recommendation report.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. The motion on the floor is to continue the request to allow the applicant to consider the 8 staff conditions. Is there a second?
Who will second?
Oh, we do need, sorry,
need a date.
To amend the motion to include a date.
Okay.
Sorry.
All April over 9th. Again here?
Or? You can just amend and add date. Say
Nagel,
amend and add date.
I would like to add the amendment of the date of continuance to be for the April 9th meeting.
Okay, the motion on the floor is to continue with the 8 staff recommendations to the April 9th meeting. Do I have a second?
Coleman second.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That motion is continued to the April 9th meeting. Sorry, that application is continued to the April 9th meeting. The next item up on the regular agenda is item number 15, the petition of Randall White, file number 25-000258 COA for 554 East McDonough Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant is requesting approval to expand the existing 20x8 deck off the back of the non-contributing townhouse at 554 East McDonough Street. The proposed expanded deck would be approximately 21x21 feet. Just a little bit of background. This is a non-contributing resource. It was built in 2022 on a formerly vacant lot. It is connected to one neighboring townhouse at 552 East McDonough Street. The rear elevation where the project is proposed faces Hull Street. The building is surrounded by both new construction and contributing resources on the 500 block of East McDonough Street between East Broad and Houston Streets. So just to go over some of the plans here, this is the existing site plan, just showing both of the townhomes. This is the one that's on the corner where it does face East Broad as well. And the proposed floor plan does show how the expansion would be. And how, you know, the installation, this is a wall section here. And the elevations. So for this, it's all staying within the existing wall structure here that where the driveway is. It's not going beyond what's already there in that sense. So for visual compatibility, staff found the rhythm of structures on streets. This expansion still falls within that existing wall and remains visually compatible, as well as the projection is still within the footprint of the driveway. For a relationship of materials, texture, and color, these proposed materials are going to match the existing deck, and thus the standard is met. So that includes square columns with cap and base moldings, brick supporting walls, wood balusters and railings, and wood decking all painted white. The existing deck is visible from East Broad Street and Hull Street, but this was approved. It was noted to be visible in the original staff report approving the construction of this townhouse in 2022. The existing deck configuration does not have a lane to face because it's just Hull Street. Directly next door, there is a contributing building with 4 decks that are fully visible from Hull Street. So right here, this is right next door. And then to the right here is an image of what's across the street on East McDonough. Similar new construction, but the same kind of thing going on with, you know, there is no lane for them to have these rear decks facing. So there is a lot of context for this in this area. There's many other properties situated on lots without lanes, and subsequently there are other examples of street-facing decks not in the viewshed of this site but still in the vicinity. Staff finds the standard is still met for the reasons mentioned above. So with that, staff does recommend to approve the request to expand the rear deck on the rear elevation of 554 East McDonough Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there questions for staff on this one? Ms. Woodfield?
Woodfield. Is this one property with two townhomes and two owners or one owner?
I believe it's two owners. It's just, yeah, they're each their own townhouse.
So I'm wondering about the lot coverage. I mean, if this is one house, this is considered an accessory structure.
It's not. Yeah, no, that's a great question. When we first had our pre-meeting with the applicant, we talked about if they had spoken with the city zoning, and they had, and they didn't see any issues with it. And the lot coverage max is 75% here. When this original project was approved, the lot coverage was at 62.4% for both of them. So this expansion would not exceed the 75%.
But are you saying that even though these are two owners, that the lot coverage from this owner can combine with the lot of the neighboring owner?
That's how the project was presented and approved. And that's how it was interpreted at the time. And the site plan does kind of show them both here. Wait, let me go back to the site plan.
Caitlin, maybe a better question would be, is the property subdivided? Is it two separate properties or is it a single property, single lot?
I believe it's a single lot. We can certainly have the applicants confirm that for us. But I think the bottom line was that the zoning administrator didn't see an issue with this project from that perspective as well.
Do you have a letter from the zoning administrator?
We don't, and we can see what the applicants, I believe, are here. But
okay. Are there additional questions for staff?
One additional question. Has the next door neighbor sent any comments in?
We have not heard anything.
They are aware of it, though.
I would imagine so.
Thank you.
Any additional questions for staff? Thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, my name's Randall White.
Hello, Mr. White.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today. Did you have something you want to present, or would you prefer to take questions?
No, I think there were some questions around this, because this is new construction, the house to the other side has not sold yet. It's still up for sale. Wells Anderson, the builder, still owns that. And he's the one that said that he would also build the extension for us. So I don't know if there's any other questions you might have. As far as it's two separate houses. I don't know if they zoned it into two separate lots. I would assume they did. But there are two separate units.
Questions for the applicant beyond the ones that he's answered?
And then one other thing, I think there was another question about the zoning or the Marcus Lotson, who's my brother-in-law. He called somebody in the building area and discussed it. And they're the ones that came back and said, yes, it's okay. They wouldn't have any problem with it. So that's when we went ahead and presented it to you guys after they said it was okay to do so.
Thank you. Mr. Coleman, did you have a question? Okay. Additional questions for the applicant?
I do. Is there, do and I'm sorry if it's in the submittal packet and I might have missed it, but is there any documentation of the zoning having approved this, or was it just a conversation?
Just a conversation.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
A conversation. No.
Anything additional for the applicant? Okay, thank you, Mr. White.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't have any request cards on this property, but is there a member of the public that wishes to speak? Okay, hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Ms. Woodfield, I'll start with you.
Thank you. I do think it needs to be clear if these are two properties and two property owners. Maybe they're not now, but will they be? Because the lot coverage issue, you know, this particular half of the lot with this townhouse and the extension of the deck is more than 75%. I think that's, yeah, more than the 75% allowed for zoning. But besides that, I'm concerned that, you know, this deck extends all the way to the street. You know, the examples that we saw earlier of back porches or balconies, you know, still left a lot of open space at the back of the property, the whole street. This is going directly to the edge of the street. It also kind of affects the neighbor next door because this lot could overlooking their parking and private space. You know, we've talked about roof decks before and how they should not be visible from the street. Is this a roof deck because it's so extensive? It does then, you know, abut Hull Street and the Broad Street area. So those are my comments. I think there's some issues that maybe would say this should be continued and understood further.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Houle?
I am in favor of the staff's recommendation, but I think that I would support the condition, an added condition that the that staff investigate the lot coverage, that it's not exceeded by the proposal.
If I may, but just wanted to add that because this is not an enclosed space, it won't count towards the lot coverage. So we still looked at what the lot coverage was of the original project, but, you know, we had something that came up on Tattnall Street where they wanted to do something very similar, but they wanted to actually enclose the whole thing, and that was something they weren't able to do because then it became an enclosed space. This is still remaining open, so if you'll see how this is already a driveway space right here that does go up to that sidewalk. Adding this over top is not enclosing it, if that helps clarify.
Thanks for the clarification.
Ms. Nagel?
I agree with Ms. Woodfield in something where is the differentiation between the deck. I appreciate the clarification on the lot coverage matter. If it's not enclosed, it does not count towards the lot coverage. And then, is there a specific size where it becomes goes from a porch to a deck that starts to mess with, you know, roof deck situation where it is visible from the right of way? Where do we stand on that?
I think a roof deck is literally like on the roof.
Yeah. So there's no differentiation on the level. I mean, sorry, it would have to be on a roof and it doesn't matter if it's on the back.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry. Yes. Caitlin's done an amazing job as always. Caitlin noted this came up with the Tattnall Street project, you may remember, and we have some discussions with John with the city. And so as long as it's not enclosed on the rear, it does not count towards the lot coverage. I also did talk to him before he went away on maternity leave. You know, what's a balcony? What's a roof deck? What's a porch, right? Because it's an issue that's been coming up. So the way he explained to me was he was like a balcony. I think we all kind of know what a balcony is. A porch or a terrace is accessed off of a floor where there is living space. A roof deck would literally be on top of a roof. If there's no living space that accesses that, then that is a roof deck. So this, what is being proposed here, would not be a roof deck, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you.
Does that wrap up your comments, Ms. Nagel?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Coleman?
Yeah, I guess I have no further comments. I think these previous comments have done enough to clarify the issues that I would have clarified, so I think we're good.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
I am not going to go around a second time, but at this time I will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, Mr. Houle, I move Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 000258 COA at 554 East McDonough as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. The motion on the floor is to approve as presented. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Woodfield, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That petition is approved. Next up on the regular agenda is item number 16. The petition of Fast Signs of Savannah, Ms. Kelly Brooks, file number 25-000939, 702 Montgomery Street.
So this is Kelly. So the applicant has a question, an internally illuminated sign at 702 Montgomery Street. 702 Montgomery is this one-story commercial building that you see upper left, or my upper left. The building, multi-story building that you also see, is a building across the street that does have residential units on the upper floor. So with that, the sign itself, in terms of design, colors, size, and all that, meets the standards, as well as the sign ordinance. The primary concern, as you may guess, is with the internal illumination of the sign. The zoning district does allow for internally lit signs, and design itself does meet the standards for internally lit signs. The main concern is with the property across the street that has residential units on the upper floors. Per section 9.9.6.D, enclosed lamp, neon, or exposed fluorescent lighting should not be permitted across the street from any residential use. So again, since it's residential across the street, the sign cannot be internally lit. So staff recommends that it have external lighting and not the internal lighting, the internal lights. So with that, staff recommends approval of the wall sign at 702 Montgomery with the condition that it either be externally lit, not be lit at all, or that a variance be applied for with internal illumination.
Thank you, Kelly. Are there questions for staff on this one? Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record? Sorry, thank you, Kelly.
Hi, another Kelly Brooks, Fast on Savannah. I would like to clarify real quick, talking about externally illuminated, are you talking about like goosenecks or something like that? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So this customer, they have brand standards, and part of their brand standard is to have channel letters, a condition that I presented to the customer you know, could be potential would be for the sign to be on a timer and turned off. It's more concerning during the winter months when the customers are returning the rentals and being able to find their location, because obviously most everybody that would be renting would be tourists and not know the location. They're only open until 7 o'clock at night. So if the lights were on timers and be off by 8 o'clock, I don't think it would impose on residential across the street. Just a suggestion. The safety of it is really their concern with tourists coming back and returning the mini mokes. So that's their whole presentation and the brand standards. They have them all over the Southeast.
Thank you, Kelly. Are there questions for the applicant?
I have one. I understand that they have brand standards, but we also have standards of our own here in Savannah. Have you presented to them the idea of an externally illuminated sign?
We did. Our original presentation to them was for dimensional letters. There is, and I will say that there is a street light in the front. So having any kind of illuminated sign with a photo cell on it would not work. Because the street lights would overpower the photo cell. So even if they did have anything illuminated, even with the goosenecks, it would have to be on some kind of timer or manually turned on or off. I deal with brand standards all day long, every single day, so I know.
There are additional questions for the applicant? Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
I do have a speaker card. Ms. Isaacs? No? Maybe I'm reading the number wrong. Okay, gotcha. Is there anyone else, any other member of the public that wishes to speak? Hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Mr. Higgins, I'll start with you.
I agree with staff recommendations. Our standards are very clear on this, and I don't see any problem with somebody flipping a switch to turn them on and flipping a switch to turn them off.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson?
You could actually put it on a timer, too. But, yeah, I agree with staff recommendation. I understand the issue of working with clients and trying to do what they want to do, even though there are other things that say they shouldn't do that. But I want to just clarify something with staff. So the internally illuminated signs are permitted in this district, but because of the residential across the street, you're recommending not?
Yes.
Okay. I wish we had this on Abercorn because the two hotels that are across from my neighborhood light up the whole neighborhood with their signs at the top of the building, but okay. Yep. Thank you. Had to get that 2 cents worth in there.
Noted. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Coleman?
No comments.
Ms. Nagel?
I agree with staff recommendation. We see this all the time. We just heard a similar situation with somebody who, you know, it would have looked a whole lot better if it was lit. And the idea of a timer is logical and great. However, the ordinance is the ordinance, and we just have to stick to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Hull?
I agree with staff recommendation.
Ms. Woodfield?
I agree with staff recommendation as well. I just want to make one comment that this is a 4-foot diameter sign. It's a very large sign, and to have it lit would really be a lot. I imagine that sign is 30 inches. So anyway, all the more reason because it is such a large sign, which is within their rights. Okay. But all the more important that it's not illuminated.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. I'm not going to go around a second time, but I'll open the floor for a motion.
Higgins, I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to 72 Montgomery Street, 25-000939 COA. Approve the wall sign at 72 Montgomery with the following condition to be met prior to work taking place because the work otherwise meets the standards and is visually compatible. 1, change the wall sign so that it is either externally illuminated or has no illumination at all, or apply for a variance for the internal illumination.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. The motion on the floor is to approve with the noted staff condition. Do I have a second?
Hull, second.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That motion is approved with staff conditions. Next item up on the regular agenda is item number 17. The petition of Engels and Volkers, Mr. Richard Mopper, file number 25-00135 COA for 127 East Gordon Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to install a temporary mesh security screening around all four elevations of the vacant property located at 127 East Gordon Street. The proposed screening would include printed imagery of the approved drawings of what the completed project will look like when the work is completed. So this is just an overview of the current conditions of the building. And just as a refresher, because it was a little while ago, these are renderings from the approved stamp drawings for the project that would be printed onto the mesh screens and installed, awaiting the restoration project. So just a little bit of that project history. The rehab and alterations was approved by this board on August 9th, 2023. And it was continued from its original presentation in June to address a variety of design concerns, which were met by the time the project returned 2 months later. Part of this project included removal of the non-original side addition as it was determined to be non-contributing. And in its place, a new addition would be constructed. So you can see that one here. At present, the porch addition was removed, but no other progress has been made on the project. It has been stalled, hence the reason for the screening request. The property owners plan to sell the building, but in the meantime, some temporary protective measures are proposed to prevent the building from being open to vandalism and deterioration, which has been taking place. I did pass those around during the pre-meeting, but they'll go around again, which is the specs and samples of what the material is like. So we looked at the Secretary of the Interior standards and found that the standards were met. The temporary mesh screening seeks to retain the historic character and distinctive features by creating a barrier around the building to prevent trespassing, vandalism, and exposure, leading to further deterioration of the building. The way the panels will be installed is via screws every 4 feet. The panels would stop at the lintels 8 feet above the street level. For the front elevation, the mesh will wrap around the bay window and to the front door, but the front steps and portico will remain exposed. For standards 9 and 10, new additions cannot damage and new additions reversible. Staff recommends that the gentlest means possible is used for the installation of the screening to ensure that no damage to the historic building will occur, as well as for their removal. And the intent is for the screening to be temporary until a buyer who intends to follow the approved plans is located. To ensure this is temporary, staff recommends that the screening shall be installed for a period not to exceed the 2-year expiration date of the certificate of appropriateness. The original COA approval includes stucco repair and replacement due to the condition of the existing stucco. Because of this, the areas where the panels would be installed will be part of the stucco repair work once they are removed and the restoration work begins. For relationship of materials, texture, and color, the applicant provided samples of the mesh screening material, which staff found to meet the above standard. Further, the proposed design to be printed on the material are the renderings of the approved plans for the work to be completed on the house. And just to make a note, because this is an unusual circumstance and it's not really something we've seen before, just calling out the part of the ordinance that says, though certain building materials are prescribed herein, the board may approve alternative materials that are not listed as prohibited upon a showing by the applicant that the material or product is visually compatible with the historic building materials and has performed satisfactorily in the local climate. So while we don't necessarily have a local example on the spec sheet, it does go into how it's a breathable fabric that can hold up to the exposure outdoors and is not prone to like mold or mildew growth or anything. So I think we found that because this has been used on outdoor and is designed to be that it met that standard. Obviously, would be curious to hear the board's response as well. But then for exterior walls, the exterior stucco walls will be repaired as per the originally approved COA. Once the restoration work begins, the screening will not cause a situation where this work can no longer take place. And the mesh screening is temporary in nature and is intended to protect the historic fabric to ensure a proper restoration can happen. The screening will temporarily obscure the exterior walls, but not in a destructive or irreversible way. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request to install a temporary mesh security screening around all four elevations of the vacant property located at 127 East Gordon Street, with the following conditions to be reviewed by staff prior to starting the work because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, ensure the gentlest means possible is used for the installation and later removal. And two, ensure that the screening shall be installed for a temporary period not to exceed the 2-year expiration date of the COA. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there questions for staff?
One question, please. Caitlin, what's the expiration date of the COA?
COAs are good for 2 years from the date of approval, so that would be March 12th,
2027. Oh, so it's this one, not the one that was voted on?
For that project, that will actually, yeah, it's 2 years. They would be able to expire for 1 6-month extension, and it is getting somewhat close to that date, but they could get an extension on that. If that were to expire, they would have to reapply.
Okay, so we're talking about 2027.
Well, yeah, the one that they did, the original rehab project, would apply later this year. It will expire, but they could get that 6-month extension. And that's the one that if that does expire, they can reapply for the rehab work.
Okay. So can you give me, are we still talking about 2027 or are we starting?
For this project, if it were approved today, the COA for this specific portion would be good for 2 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Woodfield, please.
Sure.
Caitlin, can you be real clear about how high this screening is? Is it going up to the eave line?
I talked with the applicant and they can certainly confirm this, but it sounds like it was just going up to the top of the lintels of the second floor.
Nagel, did the applicant provide any renderings? I mean, as easy as those would be, of what the wrapping would look like?
We have the renderings. They would be printed on the mesh of the approved drawings. Of what's on the stamp drawings.
So there's no rendering of the actual mesh on the building?
No, just the sample that you all have from the company.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, my comment from pre-meeting that I'll pull over into regular meeting is that, you know, it is standard practice within the industry for the print vendor to provide a print proof before starting a job of this size. And I think the actual print proof is something that I would definitely be interested in seeing before we approve and set a standard. You know, I think in theory, like having a rendering of the building, I'm not opposed to that, but there could be, you know, advertisement on it, words on it. So I want to be very, very clear that the actual print proof needs to be provided. And I would argue not even a staff review, come back to this board for approval once that is received. Because that, I mean, that's a prominent corner. And again, setting a standard where we don't want people wrapping projects with, you know, 2-story advertisements.
Yeah, it was pretty clear, and I'm sorry that wasn't as clear in the report, that is literally just going to be this without any additional advertising for any of any sort. But I can absolutely see the need to look at the sample as it will be presented.
Are there additional questions for staff?
Higgins, totally agree with what you just said. I would not want to approve anything that we haven't had put in front of us. But Caitlin, aside from that, have there been any applications to do further work to stabilize this structure?
I know it's been secured because of the people that have been breaking in, but I believe we might want to ask the applicants more. We haven't had any applications for any work, though.
Okay. Could you go back to the that one? Just because I've got some great concerns that, you know, it may be a wrap, but it's just going to continue to molder and rot. The fragility of, for example, those upper windows, the fact that it's not weathertight, and you've received no application to do any of that kind of work?
No, not at this time.
Here.
Yep, Mr. Thompson.
I have a number of issues. I think that is an important one. So my first question to staff is, my recollection is the ordinance has demolition by neglect or whatever in it. Is there a provision that could have the city cite that and get some tightening up of the condition of the existing building? You don't have to answer that, but I think it's something we could possibly put forward. I also am concerned in a hurricane or heavy winds that that stuff would rip off the building, and I guess the maybe the manufacturer would have to answer that question. And lastly, since the current approval would expire in 6 months and they got to come back, and if they sell the building, more than likely the new owner is going to want to do something different anyway. So whatever they print and put on the side of the building may change. So a whole lot of questions on this, but number one should be what we recommend to keep the building stable and dry or whatever other term. So thank you.
Any additional comments or questions for staff? Thank you, Caitlin. Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi there, I'm Dickie Mopper, and happy to be here today. Before I go too far into this, let me say that there were a lot of reasons. One was security of the building, of course. The other is the fact that the building does not visually look good in the neighborhood. And you said what a prominent location it is. That's one of the reasons that we wanted to do something and that the owner was willing to spend the money. This is significantly expensive. This is not an inexpensive endeavor, certainly less expensive than redoing it. But one of the things they wanted to do was to address neighbors' concerns about how it looked. And so that was another reason for doing it. To answer some of your questions, number one, in regards to signage, what we showed you today is exactly what we presented. It's exactly what it will look like. Hanson Architects has been instructed, once we get approval, and we'd be happy to share it with you at that point, to do 100% resolution printing instructions for Kennicle. Kennicle has already reached out to them to have that done. At the end of the day, it will look just like the renderings we shared with you. It will be no different. So just so you'll be aware. And certainly if you're going to be making approvals, then you can certainly state that in your approval. One, that we would show it to you, and two, that there will be no mesh signage as part of the installation. Let's see. In regards to strength and weathering, you know, it's like anything else. If a storm's strong enough, it can blow anything out. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's not possible, but the mesh and the design of installation are meant to be storm resistant. If you go to any place in the world, Paris, New York, Chicago, you'll see these wraps on 25, 50 story buildings. They wouldn't be on those buildings if they weren't secure. There's certainly something to the industry to make sure that people are protected. So I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but I'm just telling you the realities. When we were trying, we're going to be marketing it, and we are going to find a new owner, and they are going to redo it. And I can't tell you that colors won't change and things won't change. But as far as the sides that are in existence today, the odds are the only thing you're going to see would be color changes. You're almost not going to approve any kind of changes to the windowsills, to, you know, the fact that it's a stucco application. So, I mean, I really think the only thing you're going to be concerned about in the future is color. And let me see if I have anything else. Yeah, I guess so. We were talking about how to put it in so that it would be as gentle as possible. So the screens have grommets. They have hook screws that attach to the building. That's about as gentle as you can get. When you take the screws back out, the building will be completely restuccoed. So those holes will be completely filled. The other application that was suggested was gluing it to the building. And obviously we thought that was a terrible idea. First of all, it would be more harmful to the building and much more difficult to take down. Let me see if I've got any other notes. I think that's it. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Oh, no, one last. I'm sorry. In regards to continuing deterioration, the good news about this is airflow mesh. So it's not like we're sealing the building so that moisture and things will hold behind it any more than what's being held there today. And last point that I'd like to make is we all agree at the end of the day, the building needs to be restored. It needs to be fixed. It needs to look gorgeous and it needs to be serviceable and enjoyed by people. But right now it's not. And even if you were to go to the extent of trying to force the current owner to spend money, which they may or may not have to spend, number one, during that entire time, the buildings will continue to look terrible. And this is an opportunity, in my opinion, to allow not only the public to have a more beautified area, but also for people who are thinking in terms of buying and restoring a historic building, get a little look at it. Lots of people have real vision and they can ride by and they can see the finished product. Not everybody can. Generally, what we do is we build a big sign with a rendering on it for those people who don't have the imagination. This is an opportunity to really show what this building will look like. If you've got any questions, I'll have to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Mopper. Are there questions for the applicant?
Madam Chair, yes. Mr. Houle, sir, I am a little bit confused because when you first started your presentation, you said something about that the mesh thing was going to cost a lot of money.
Significant amount, not a
significant amount. And then as you closed out, you said the owner didn't have the money.
No, I said
might not have
maybe to renovate the entire building. There's a huge difference.
Okay.
I see those as comparable. We're talking about the money to put the mesh on versus the money to restucco the building, to put in all new windows, to, you know, restore every item on the exterior of the building. To me, they're just not comparable.
Okay. Then I guess my bottom line question was, would it not be better for the property to secure the building in a different way than putting the mesh screening on it?
Again, I think you're talking about dollars and cents that don't compare. You know, we're trying to do something that's going to enhance the community, make it far more visibly compatible to the neighbors, make the neighbors happier about what they are seeing every day until we find someone who is going to renovate. I think that my personal opinion, I like what you're saying and I don't disagree, but basically for the amount of money that is costing to put the mesh up, it's no different than going in and just caulking a few bad areas. At the end of the day, the cost of doing the mesh is probably $15,000. Still a lot of money to put up the mesh versus doing nothing. I certainly wasn't trying to compare it to renovating the building.
Additional questions for the applicant?
Nagel? I do have a question. What happens with the windows? Is this mesh going over? Because there's a lot of broken windows there. Is this mesh going directly on top of every single window?
It is.
And then you can't see behind it at all. So according to the sample.
The screen?
Right.
Just through the mesh. But you'll barely see because it's painted.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just curious if I'm allowed to ask the board a question. My question is, have you ever seen this installation in other communities? If you have, you understand how significant it can be and what an improvement it can be to an area for a short period of time. For me, seeing the building the way it looks today, and it's going to look this way for, let's just say, a year. If we sold it tomorrow, by the time people go through the process, get everything done, get the approvals, get their scaffold up and do everything, it's at least a year. Are we better off to be able to see something attractive for a year? Or are we better off just letting it look like it does today? I mean, really, I think that's the question. Nobody is trying to submit this as being the end all. This is a short term accomplishment of visible improvement. Simple as that.
Higgins, has your client done any cost studies about the mesh versus basic stabilization to bring it into code compliance? For example, proper boarding of the windows, spraying it with white paint, things that would make code compliance.
Okay. So just so you'll understand, I don't know that spraying it, like, and again, I'm asking, I don't know that spraying it with white paint is going to bring it into code compliance. One. Two, we met with multiple top-notch painting contractors who all suggested we not paint it because the stucco is already in such bad shape that it was going to start falling and it wasn't going to help it. And actually, it was one of those contractors who doesn't have this job who suggested this and saying he'd done it in other communities outside of Savannah, and he thought it was a great short-term solution. I wish I'd have thought of it because I think it's a great solution, but I didn't.
Will there be any stabilization underneath the mesh, for example,
no,
to the window areas or an additional securing of entrances?
Yeah, I mean, before we do anything, we'll make sure that it's fully secured. The other thing is, I don't know if the windows, because again, you mentioned the windows. I don't know if they were covered code compliant. They were told to be covered, and that was done by city being told to do it. So I don't know that the plywood that's up there doesn't meet the code requirement. Staff might know that. I don't know.
Are there additional questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Mopper.
Thank you all.
Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I'm going to try to be succinct with my thoughts because I have so many, especially after listening to everything. HSF's ARC is appreciative that the owner is proposing this interesting concept to aid in the security and visual representation of the building. However, I disagree that the rendering will look exactly the way that it's being presented because there's no addition to drape this screen over. And then staff mentioned something about how it's going to be 8 feet off of the ground. So then it's only going to cover basically the center portion of the building, from my understanding. I'm concerned that there's no other work that's going to be done to the building, to board windows, like Mr. Higgins stated, and secure the building in any other way. I'm concerned that the addition of the screen directly into the stuccoed masonry that is already very damaged is going to cause additional damage and allow additional water intrusion. We worry that the screen will prevent actual rehabilitation from commencing, and now we know that the property is going to be sold, so that's a further extended timeline. Typically, when I've seen things like this done before, it's attached to scaffolding that is around the building and not directly to the building itself. We also want some sort of assurance that the screen itself will be maintained during this potential two-year-long installation, since no other work has been completed since the addition was demolished. And considering the cost of the mesh, again, I know it's very much apples to oranges. I do this every day. But at the same time, it's a concern that no other money is going to be put into stabilizing the building to be weather tight from water intrusion or anything else. Hopefully all of that made sense. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was about to call you back up. You do have the opportunity to respond to public comment from the podium and just restate your name for the record.
Sure. Dickie Mopper. First, I want to start with the water intrusion. You know, whether y'all accept this is the creative idea that it is, at least when I leave here, I hope you fully understand, there will be no further water intrusion. The way that the screws are put into the building is they are put in with a caulking that is designed to make sure that there's no more water intrusion. Secondly, we're talking about a building that's got to be restucked. We're not talking about a house with plaster where people hung paintings all over the walls and then left. This is going to be repaired. We all know at the end of the day that's going to be repaired. In regards to scaffolding, if the building were under renovation in Savannah, Georgia, we wouldn't be doing this. We would just scaffold it and be doing the work. That's the norm. It's not unusual anywhere in the country for buildings to be wrapped directly to the property. Yes, I agree. If it's under renovation, you normally would do it to scaffold. But this is not an unusual application in any way, shape, or form. As far as maintaining it, certainly we can agree, our company will agree that we will maintain it during the time that it's up. And it's our hope that it won't be up that long. I mean, our job is to find the new owner who's going to treasure this building as much as we all treasure the historic district and to make sure that it gets renovated. Let me just make sure I didn't miss any of her comments. Oh, she said one third of it will be covered. It's actually one third won't be covered. Everything from this height all the way to the top is covered. It's the lower level that's not covered. That area will be painted. So just so you'll know, at the end of the day, it'll look good. We all know it's not the same as redoing it. And I totally agree with everybody's comments in regards to, you know, it would be better to fix it than not to fix it. But that's just not happening right now.
Madam Chair, can I ask one additional question of Mr. Mopper?
Sure.
Ms. Isaacs mentioned something, and it made my mind think back. There's a billboard on Drayton Street for Local 1110. Beautiful billboard.
Yeah.
It gets tagged by graffiti probably once every couple of weeks and has been replaced at least four times. Do you have a plan to maintain it if graffiti strikes a screen like this?
Frankly, I haven't thought about the illegal use of things that can happen, but I see your point. But the building can be tagged right now. So I would assume that, and I would just have to ask Tentacle, but I assume we could paint over tagging just like you could on any other property. That I don't know the answer to. I think it's a good question.
But didn't you say it was going to be printed by?
It is going to be printed by chemical.
So you would paint back that image?
Either that or they would cut out a section of it and put another piece in. You know, you're asking questions that are great questions, but I think we could always find ways to find fault with something. And I'm sure that there's a way for it to be creatively repaired. And we are using Kennelco because we know they're first class, and we would go to them to do it.
Nagel, I have one last question.
Sure.
Is this the current owner of the property? Is it the same owner who started all the scraping? Because this building has been scraped. It didn't just look like this over time. I saw it being scraped. So is this the same owner who scraped off all the stucco and the facade to prep it, or is this a different owner?
I don't know the answer to that. Okay. I know it was owned before by some other people who had started doing some exterior things, but whether they did that or this owner did. To be honest with you, I don't know.
It didn't look as bad until somebody bought it and scraped all of it. And now it's an easy thing to say, hey, we scraped all of it. We don't want to redo it. We want to sell it. Let's just wrap it. So it seems like a slippery slope for downtown people who start a project, don't finish it, make the property look worse, and then wrap it. But I will say it's visually much nicer than what's there. Yeah. So it is a balance.
And that's the question. I mean, I don't disagree with the Historic Savannah Foundation's position or any of your positions. I'm a preservationist. I've been restoring buildings for 55 years, and it breaks my heart to see a building in this condition. That's one of the reasons I sell them. And we're going to do that. We're going to get it sold. But I think for the community's benefit that it would be better. And if the neighbors were here today, I wonder what they would say. Would they rather look at it the way it is, or would they rather see it beautified for the next 6 months to 8 months while it's on the market? I mean, that's your call, not mine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mopper. At this time, we will enter into board discussion. No further public comment will be heard. Ms. Woodfield, I'll start with you.
Woodfield, I appreciate all the comments and the discussion back and forth. I have no further comments.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Hull.
I'm not a big fan of the wrap. For the amount of money and the amount of time and the amount of effort that it's going to take to get it up, to get this wrap up, I just think that there are better ways that the current owner or potential buyer or someone who is encouraging a future buyer, better ways to spend your time and your money. On the other hand, not to do anything for this building, we risk that by the time we get to it, it's just going to be a pile of rubble.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Ms. Nagel?
I think the intentions are good, and I do agree that the neighbors around the square, it being such a prominent location, would appreciate it. But it does open a door to say, well, you can neglect a property entirely, let it deteriorate, do nothing while it fattens up in the market, sit there, wrap it for 15 grand, which is really the cost of one window, and, you know, and just let it stay in disrepair. And I don't know that this board is here to approve things that just say, well, it kind of looks okay, and that's a good patch for a while. I think it opens a door to other people doing the same thing, saying we don't have to renovate it. We can just leave it neglected. Let's just wrap it, call it a day, put it on the market. It also creates a false sort of marketing scheme for properties downtown to say, oh, we don't really have to put the work into it. We can just wrap it, make it look really good, put it on the market. Nobody has to see how bad it really is. I have seen it in other cities. It can work really well. I have no doubt that the wrapping would look good and that it could work. But I think we're opening a door to downtown properties that could go under neglect to say, well, we could just wrap it and not fix it and let it deteriorate even further. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Coleman?
I think all the comments are valid. I don't agree that an action taken by this board on this matter, be it up or down, is a precedent. I think that we are always here to look at projects on a case-by-case basis and make our decision based on what we consider to be the best avenue for that specific project. So with that, whether we vote for or against this, I believe we do it based on what we feel is best for this project and not worry about what happens on another project, because that will be a condition that that petitioner would have to argue.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. I'm going to add my comments just in hopes that it moves some colleagues. I think that we're in theory, I'm behind the concept. I think there's still more information that we need to have. We need to see the actual print rendering from Kennecal to understand what it looks like. We need to have more information, see it against the building, how much of it is going to be covered, and how is it going to be applied. I think I would feel more comfortable with staff reviewing the screws that are going to be affixed into the side of the building. I think it would be a different story if this was a healthy building, but it's not.
But in theory, I am for anything that helps get this building sold and into the hands of someone who's willing to invest in the structure to save it. And I think the longer that we sit and do nothing, we can opine and winch about the state that it's in and hope and pray that they decide to do something, but that hasn't worked out so well so far. So as far as this may help it get sold and pique the attention of someone who is going to put the resource and the time and the energy into it, I'm for it. But I just don't think that, for me personally, I'm not at a stage today where I can approve this. I think there's a lot more information that needs to be gathered. But in theory, I'm in support of the concept. Pass to you, Ms. Rowan.
I agree with our chair's comments. I'm in favor of the wrap in theory also. I live near this neighborhood and I obviously don't like staring at this every day. And I would think that a lot of our neighbors would be in favor of the wrap than looking at this every day. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Thompson.
Well, Stan, I guess I'm not a fan of the wrap either. Whoops, we're not talking music now, are we? I thought we had, Mr. Mopper did a great job in responding to all the issues. You can tell he's in sales. And all that's on the record. That's good. I think doing something like this is unique and interesting. I've seen it in other cities. I've seen it in two different ways on a construction project wrapped around a, scaffolding. And I've seen it high on tall buildings advertising sports events and other city things in a huge way. And L.A. had a lot of it when I was there one time. Anyway, I have one concern, and it could be solved by having our condition that the city code enforcement or whatever the right department is go in and ensure that whatever needs to be buttoned up and tight in the building is done. And then you can wrap it and hopefully you get a buyer and comes back and does something with it. So that's would be my recommendation we put into the motion if we take a motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins.
I'm not a fan of the idea of wrapping it. I think it's a unique, innovative idea. I think it's unfortunate that this board does not have more powers to deal with code enforcement. Because if code enforcement was doing their thing, it would probably make our job a little easier. I am very disturbed, however, that there is no maintenance plan that should come along with this and that we have not seen full renderings that we have. As has been said, I don't understand how you're going to have a rendering of the new addition when there is no addition to put it on. I think it is premature. I think it has the potential to be a very bad thing. Having had a business with mesh across the street for 3.5 years, I have also seen what happens when things get tagged, when things get damaged. It's not an easy fix. It is replacement. So unless there's a maintenance plan, I'm not ready to vote for this. I would be more in favor of continuing this so that a lot of these questions can be answered. And maybe get a report back from code compliance as to what they're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. I will go around one more time. Ms. Woodfield.
I agree. This seems like it's important enough and continuance is the proper direction forward.
Thank you, Mr. Hull.
I regretfully agree that I think a continuance would help.
Ms. Nagel.
No further comment.
Mr. Coleman.
I agree with the idea of a continuous. I would suggest to the petitioner that one avenue to help clarify some of this is to have a rendering done with the wrap applied to show what the building could look like with the wrap. That is possible to be done, and I know that's another expense for the client, but it would probably go far to at least show this panel what potentially this could be, and then we can really understand what you're trying to do and all the other issues that they brought up as well. But I think showing what that wrap looks like on the building is the correct direction to go as well.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with Mr. Coleman's comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
I agree with the comments I'm hearing about continuance, and I suggest the continuance include a request of the city to go in and look at the building and apply any appropriate standards at this point of preserving and maintaining the condition of the building. And I believe that there are codes that and processes for that to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins?
I've already said my thoughts. I agree with what you just said. So no additional comment.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. At this time, I'll open the floor for a motion.
Higgins.
Madam Chair. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Higgins.
Mr. Higgins, the floor is yours.
Mr. Houle.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Houle, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board Review continue the petition 25001035 COA for the property located at 127 East Gordon Street with the following conditions. Number one, ensure the gentlest means possible used for the installation and later removal. Number two, ensure that the screening shall be installed for a temporary period not to exceed the two-year expiration date of the certificate of appropriateness when it is issued. Three, that the print rendering be presented to the board for review. Four, that staff review the screws that are going to be used to hold the mesh in place. And five, that the codes department be asked to review the structural condition of the building prior to the board meeting on April the 9th, 2025.
Mr. Houle, would you consider a friendly addition?
Yes, sir.
That a final point be added, that the applicant come back with a full plan of maintenance for the duration that this is listed or that this is installed.
I would agree to that amendment.
Okay, restating the motion on the floor, there's a motion to continue the application to allow the applicant to address six conditions. One, ensure the gentlest means possible for installation and removal. Number two, ensure that the screening be installed for a temporary period of time. Three, provide a full print rendering of the screening and its application to the building. Four, allow staff to review the application method. Five, request code enforcement and or the city review the property in its current condition. And six, provide a maintenance plan for the mesh once installed. Do I have a second?
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Ms. Woodfield, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That motion is continued. That concludes our regular agenda items. As a reminder, approved staff reviews are now located online, so I will not go through and read that list. We don't have any work performed without a COA. Nothing has been deferred to staff. There's some notices and proclamations. Does any member of the board have any other business that needs to be discussed today?
Hearing none, I will move to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned.